Well, praise the Lord. That's good to be in his house. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him. And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction, healed of the suffering. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." A woman, 12 years of affliction, 12 years of suffering, 12 years of seeking out a cure, 12 years of appointments, 12 years of medical prescription, procedure. This condition plagued life and living. You know, the Bible clearly states that she had spent all she had. That this flow of blood, the infirmity break. That she be free, that she be healed and set free. The money ran dry. And for all the trying and all the spending, all the seeking out a means of reprieve and healing, the woman's condition only grew worse. Verses 25 to 27, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, the ASV, having heard the things concerning Jesus, in the Amplified Bible, she had heard reports about Jesus. The Living Bible, she had heard all about the wonderful miracles Jesus did. And the voice she had heard of this miracle man, Jesus. When we tell of the wonderful miracles of Jesus, faith is lit. The report, the testimony, the testifying, a seemingly hopeless case. A seemingly hopeless situation, this case beyond the profession, beyond this humanity. Throw in the towel. There's no help for you. This is your condition, and your condition is terminal. Something happened when this woman heard. When this woman heard about Jesus, she had heard reports about Jesus. You know, I wonder who told her. Did someone or someones personally tell her, knowing her condition? Was it a conversation she overheard? Was it the report of others that had been recipients of the wonderful miracles of Jesus? Something stirred in her. A spark of life. A spark of hope, a faith fire lit upon hearing about Jesus. Can this Jesus help me? Can this Jesus heal me? You know, we don't read of such musing. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." When she heard, she came. This woman coming to Jesus, the living Bible, she had heard all about the wonderful miracles Jesus did, and that is why she came. The NLT, she had heard about Jesus, so she came. The reports about Jesus gave this woman a fresh new hope. And this hope, this faith fire lit within, silenced all the doubts and cast out all the fear and shut up all the voices and sent holy shockwaves into the give up spirit. Burning through all the years of bad growth, all the years of entangled thoughts, beliefs, feelings, and emotions, a woman on the move. Because she had heard about Jesus, the great physician. Verses 27 to 29, reading from the KJV, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You know, this woman, she didn't wait for Jesus to touch her. For the miracle man to pass by. You know, perhaps someone will tell Jesus of the woman and her condition. Perhaps someone will lead Jesus to the woman. I mean, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and Jesus will come. This woman came behind Jesus. This woman came in the press. This woman pressed through the crowd. If only I can touch his clothes. The Message paraphrase, she was thinking to herself, if I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. You know, perhaps one might hear this report today. This report about Jesus. A seemingly hopeless case. a seemingly hopeless situation, you're ready to, or you have already thrown in the towel. There's no hope, no help for you. This is your condition, and this condition is terminal. Now, church, hear the conviction of this woman, verses 28 to 31. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched you? This woman touches the garment of Jesus, and Jesus immediately knows that power has gone out of him. He turns to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples are quick to chime in. You see this multitude, the multitude thronging you, and you ask who touched you? You ask who touched me? The message his disciples said, what are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you. But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The Voice Bible, woman to herself, even if all I touch are his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her fingers brushed his cloak, the bleeding stopped. She could feel that she was whole again. Lots of people were pressed against Jesus at the moment, but he immediately felt her touch. He felt healing power flow out of him. He stopped. Everyone stopped. He looked around. Jesus, who just touched my robe? His disciples broke the uneasy silence. Disciples, Jesus, the crowd is so thick that everyone is touching you. Why do you ask who touched me? But Jesus waited. His gaze swept across the crowd to see who had done it. The Wycliffe Bible, Jesus looked about to see her that had done this thing. This woman, 12 years, suffering, affliction, trying, appointments, prescriptions, procedures, 12 years. She heard about Jesus. You know, I see faith. I see holy fear. I see holy humility. I see awestruck quaking. Verse 34, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Those words. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Would that be her report? Track with me today. Would she leave the scene and tell people, report to others, that her faith made her well? Track with me today. Listen, you know this woman would live to testify of the miracle man Jesus. You know she would share her story and those who knew of her past reality, family, friends, neighbors, observing strangers, physicians, witnesses of the change. You know she lived to tell her story, adding to the report about Jesus. This woman had faith in Jesus, in whom he was. Faith in his power, faith in his person, faith in his name, faith in his track record, faith in his fame. Was it her faith? Simply her faith that made her whole? Listen, I'm not grasping at straws today. This woman was made whole because of Jesus. This woman was made whole because of the power he felt go out of him. Because of the power he felt flow out of him. Healing power flowing out of him. You say, well, faith played its part. Yeah, faith played its part, no doubt. For having heard about Jesus, she came. She pressed, convinced that if she could touch Jesus' garment, she'd be made whole. Listen, faith played its part. But it was Jesus that healed her. The power in Jesus. This wasn't complex. She didn't say to herself, when I get my faith worked up, when I get to a certain level, when I have strengthened and stronger faith, she simply came. She had simple faith. She had quickened faith. She had pure faith. She had childlike faith. Verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus' words. And yes, her faith had made her whole. Faith and action. Faith in action. Faith in Jesus. What am I getting at? We must be careful that our faith in Jesus doesn't turn into faith in faith. Those who have ears to hear today, you will hear what the Spirit is saying. We must be careful that our faith in Jesus, that faith in Jesus doesn't turn into faith in faith. The words of A.B. Simpson. A friend said, you were healed by faith. Oh no, I said I was healed by Christ. What is the difference? There is a great difference. There came a time when even faith seemed to come between me and Jesus. I thought I should have to work up the faith, so I labored to get the faith. At last I thought I had it, that if I put my whole weight upon it, it would hold. I said when I thought I had got the faith, heal me. I was trusting in myself, in my own heart, in my own faith. I was asking the Lord to do something for me because of something in me, not because of something in him. Think about it. This woman had nothing in herself. No track record of faith. This woman had no season of worked up faith. This woman had not labored to get the faith. We're being specific to this today, for we know that faith can increase. Faith can grow stronger. Faith getting stronger and stronger, that is faith in Jesus, faith in his power. And yet, even when faith reaches another level in our walk with Jesus, our faith must remain holy and pure and right and in its rightful place. that it remain in Jesus. We must be careful that our faith in Jesus doesn't turn into faith in faith. How many fall into this? How many succumb to this? How many receive teaching like this? And what's actually happening is faith is coming between them and Jesus. I have to work up the faith. I have to labor to get the faith. At last, I think I have it. Yes, I'll put my whole weight upon it. It'll hold. I think I've got the faith. Question. What if in this moment, having worked up faith, labored to get the faith, thinking we have the faith, putting our whole weight upon it, it doesn't hold. And there's no healing. And there's no power. Did we or didn't we have faith? How do we justify this? How do we reconcile this? How do we deal with this? How do we answer this? It would be wise to receive these words today. That we don't go around practicing faith on people. Patients need faith, all right, but they don't need practicing faith. Practicing faith isn't faith. Faith is faith. Faith is sure. Faith is concrete. Faith sees results. Faith pulls power. You see, the answer's in the text. The woman had faith because of what she heard concerning Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." When she heard about Jesus, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." She had heard. Hearing the word about God, Jesus, the Messiah, Savior, the great physician, hearing about the word. Yeah, Jesus, God in flesh, word become flesh. She had a report. She had reports. She had heard a word. She had received a word by which faith came. This was her logos, and this was her rhema. Twelve years of suffering, 12 years of seeking out a cure, 12 years of appointments, 12 years of medical prescription, 12 years of medical procedure, and the condition only got worse. It plagued life. It plagued living. You're a hopeless case. Ma'am, you're a hopeless case. We've tried everything. And even if there was another procedure, another prescription, you got no money. You're a hopeless case. It's a hopeless situation. And I'll just throw in the towel. There's no help for you. This is your condition. And it's permanent. It's terminal. Suddenly she hears about Jesus. Hope. Faith fire lit. What doubts? What fear? What voices? A holy shock to the give-up spirit. All the years of bad growth, all the years of entangled thoughts, beliefs, feelings, emotions, cut through and cut down by the power of the word. She wasn't trusting in herself. She wasn't trusting in her own heart or in her own faith. She wasn't asking the Lord to do something for her because of something in her. She was asking the Lord to do something in her because of something in him. Asking in her coming. Asking in her pressing. Asking in her reaching out and touching his garment. People of God, our faith is in Jesus. Whatever happened to that little girl? That little daughter? Mark 5, beginning of verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged Jesus. He begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with them, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And now, that woman. And now the woman, having just been healed of her affliction, these moments, this time spent, and Jesus speaking to her, verses 35 to 42, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and uproar. And those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. The KJV, they laughed him to scorn. The NIV, they laughed at him. Laughing at Jesus. Laughing him to scorn. Jesus comes in. Great physician. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they start laughing at him. He had to put them outside. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. A woman, I just thought of it, 12 years of affliction, and a child 12 years of age. Look at how Jesus works. The father of this little girl, he had witnessed the healing power of Jesus. He had just been with Jesus. He had just seen a woman healed of her 12-year affliction. an impossible situation, a hopeless situation, throw in the towel situation. She was healed by touching Jesus' garment. And you know, I'm sure that he had heard reports about Jesus. He must have. And having heard, a faith fire was lit in him. Yes, Jesus, having crossed over, he's by the sea. The Father sees Jesus, and he comes to him, and he falls at his feet, begging him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." I see faith. I see holy fear. I see holy humility. I see trembling. Can't you hear the faith? The holy fear, the holy humility, the holy trembling. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. She'll live. If you'll come, Jesus. Come, Jesus, come and lay your hands on her. The Father had just witnessed something astonishing. A woman healed by just touching the garment of Jesus. First-hand encounter. First-hand report and reporting he heard and he saw with his own two eyes. The text, they came to him. You know, he's waiting for Jesus. Jesus is dealing with this woman and taking his time like Jesus takes his time. And all of a sudden they come to him. "Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? It's a hopeless case. It's a hopeless situation. Father, throw in the towel. There's no help for you and your daughter. This is the condition. Terminated." As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." I want to ask today, have you ever received a report? News, troubling news, a troubling report, tragic news, and Jesus immediately speaks to you. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Jairus, that man's name means who God enlightens." Gotta love it. Do not be afraid. Only believe. They start walking. They're making their way to the man's house. Was this the manner of the man? I mean, he's walking with Jesus. Jesus is coming to his house, he said. Only believe. Was this the manner of the man? He's walking with Jesus. How much time do we get to the house? Man, I got to work up the faith. I have to labor to get the faith. Do I have it? I think I have it. Yes, I'll put my whole weight upon it. It'll hold out. I think I've got the faith. This man is walking with Jesus. The report of the Lord, who has believed our report. This man had the Prince of Peace. We might be tempted to say, "Why didn't we go sooner, Jesus?" She was only at the point of death when I came to you. If you wouldn't take in time with that woman, my daughter would still be alive. Jesus just said, "Only believe. Only believe." Remember the woman? She had a crowd to press through. And guess what? This father was about to face a crowd. But he wasn't alone. Jesus was with them. The text, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult. And those who wept and wailed loudly, when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. There they are laughing at Jesus. Jesus is like, "Get out of the house. Get out." It says he put them out. We don't need any of you in the place, you know? You're going to laugh. You're going to ridicule when I say, when I declare something. Instead of taking on a spirit of faith, only believe. They start laughing. Can you imagine laughing at Jesus? The reality is many still do. Laugh him to scorn. Do not be afraid, only believe. He had put them all outside. I wonder if he took each one. Listen, you laughed at me, get out. He goes and gets the next one. When he put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Listen, I'm overcome with great amazement at the work of Jesus. At the work of Jesus, that a woman pressed through the crowd and touched his garment. I mean, do you believe the Bible or not? Either it's just a bunch of stories and fairy tales, or it's truth, it's reality. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning. Jesus, it's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus. Faith in Jesus, wow. I know we're coming close to the end here. Mark chapter 10, remember blind Bartimaeus? We're going to fly through it. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Now when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard, love it. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he wrote, "Throw aside your garment." Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," that is, "my great one, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Listen, when the man heard, hopeless situation, there he is, blind, not getting any better. But when he heard about Jesus, he begins crying out, not trying to work up the faith, labor for faith. Maybe he'll pass by another day and then I'll cry out. I got to work up my faith. Maybe I'll just lift my voice a little bit today. Receive sight. Someone needs to hear this. Receive sight and follow Jesus on the road. He is the road. One more today. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And he again entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. He preached the word. The word preaching the word. How awesome is that? He preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Can you imagine if the roof opened up right? You know, if Jesus was here and the roof opened. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? Let's just prove it. But you may know that the Son of Man has power, authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let's break it down. Real quick, it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered. No room for any more people in the house, not even near the door. Jesus is preaching. How long would this meeting go on? No time to work up faith. No time to labor for faith. It was enough. The report that Jesus was in the house. Jesus is in the house. They came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near because of the crowds, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. No ceiling on Jesus. No ceiling to Jesus. Can you hear? The message jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They brought a paraplegic to him, carried by four men. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. How would Jesus respond? Can you imagine? He's preaching, he's teaching, and all of a sudden he's looking up and there's dust falling, and what is going on? They start pulling back tiles. I don't know how long it took. Jesus can work with these kind of distractions. You know, I would venture to say that Jesus loves when people break through. A breakthrough spirit, a breakthrough faith because of hearing about Jesus, the news that he's in the house. How does Jesus respond? When Jesus saw their faith, listen, people of God, Jesus sees faith. Faith in him. When Jesus saw their faith, he healed the paralytic. No, wait. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man does indeed have power on earth to forgive sins," like I just forgave this guy his sins, he's saved now. "Just so you know," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." I can do both. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Worship ministry, please return. Note the greatest miracle. This text proves it. The greatest miracle. "Son, your sins are forgiven you." We'd be like, "I just brought this paralytic. I carried this paralytic. I was part of the four. I carried this paralytic up on the roof, opened up the roof, let him down. And your sins are forgiven." looking for something more spectacular. That's the greatest miracle. See, I think we got messed up. This generation and every generation, when we start, like, salvation's good, but we want to see the lame walk. Like, salvation's great. Oh, another person got out of their seat and went to the front and received the Bible and, you know, gave their heart to the Lord. Oh, it's great. Where's the paralytic? I want to see someone walk. Jesus came to save sinners. Yeah, he heals, but he came to save sinners. He came to save souls. This is his mission. This is the greatest miracle. I wonder if it breaks his heart. You know, people are like, that was a good service. Yeah, somebody got saved. All of heaven is rejoicing. And we're walking out of church like, I can't wait for that service when somebody gets out of the wheel. I just can't wait. And I can't. But the greatest miracle is salvation. And we have to remember that. Look where Jesus started. Jesus didn't start with rise. Get up, walk, dance for us, show us that you healed. Oh, and by the way, just so you're covered, your sins are forgiven. Jesus deals with first things first, son, salvation. The greatest miracle, the greatest form of healing. Salvation. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Did these men bring this stretched out man before Jesus for salvation or for healing? Think about it. Actually, it doesn't say. They're like, this guy can't get to the meeting. How's he going to hear? How's he going to have an encounter with Jesus? Let's carry this man. He needs salvation. He needs his sins forgiven. Or were they, this man needs to walk. This man is broken. This man is lame. This man is a paralytic. He's a paraplegic. I don't know which one it was, but Jesus dealt with first things first. I love Jesus. Jesus goes on to heal the man. I say to you, arise, take up your bed. You know, isn't it something when Jesus saw their faith? They had to get this man to Jesus. Did the man want to be carried to Jesus? I have no idea. They picked him up and started walking. I wonder if they're like, where are we going? Where are we going, guys? But they knew that Jesus was the man's answer. And man, you in the house today, Jesus is your answer. And here, faith in Jesus, they start taking the roof off, pulling back tiles, removing the tiles. I wonder today, are there roofs that need breaking through? Are there tiles that need to be pulled back? Are there tiles that need to be removed? These men didn't stand around. There was no time. They weren't there trying to work up faith, to labor for faith. The whole weight was on Jesus. Oh, Jesus saw faith, all right. He saw their faith in him. But I wonder, is it possible that this scene could serve as a picture of what many have constructed? Speaking beyond the text today, might this scene serve as a picture of what many have constructed? Jesus in a house. Jesus in a structure. No way in. Now we're moving past the history to hear and see that of the Spirit today. Jesus walled in. Can't get in. The roof, the only way. Not a physical roof that day. Rather, in our day, it was a physical roof that day. But what for us? We head up on the roof. I've got faith for one tile. I'll have to come back tomorrow when I've worked up the faith for two. I wonder, will he still be there? When I finally worked up the faith, will Jesus still be in the house? Will he still be preaching? Listen, when we have faith in Jesus, simple, uncomplex faith in Jesus, there's enough faith to take the whole roof apart in one shot. To pull back the whole roof, every tile. So often we look at it, I'm just throwing stuff out there now. So often we look at it as having to lift things up to Jesus, get things up to Jesus, when we really need to let things down to Jesus. Let them down. Let it down. And for those who have ears today, that roof can become our faith in a time when even faith seems to come between us and Jesus. And we think we should have to work up the faith, and so we labor to get it. And at last we think we have it, that if we put our whole weight upon it, it'll hold. Then we say we think we have the faith. Faith elevated to an unholy level. Leaning on the roof, we've tiled over Jesus. Don't put your weight upon it. Pull it back. If this is where we're at, where it's faith in faith and not faith in Jesus, I ask today, if this is where we're at, are we not trusting in self? Are we not trusting in our own heart, in our own faith, asking the Lord to do something for us because of something in us, not because of something in Him? You may not completely understand this today. Just walk with Jesus a little longer. Faith pulls us to Jesus and into Jesus and pulls out of Jesus. It's not something between us, separating us. Are you in the house today? Hopeless situation. Hopeless case. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever the affliction is, whatever the suffering is, whatever the circumstance is, whatever it is, it's been a while now. You've tried many appointments, many meetings. You've tried many prescriptions. You've tried many medical procedures. You've suffered at the hands of many physicians. It says many. It doesn't say one. Many. You're trying, you're trying, you're trying, you're trying. But guess what? For all your trying, your condition has only gotten worse. I pray today that you have heard the report about the great physician, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, if you need a touch from God today, Jesus is in the house. Faith in Jesus, in who He is. Jesus. We glorify you, God. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. Jesus, be glorified.